Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sip on the go with a Starbucks Iced Shaken Espresso. Our signature roast, shaken with ice, then finished with a splash of milk. Customize it to match your style on the Starbucks app. Make today a good day.
Some people think September 24th, 1991 is the most prolific, most epic day in music history. In one day, the following groundbreaking albums were released. Nirvana's Nevermind, the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like
the Pixies' Trompe Le Monde. And A Tribe Called Quest's The Low End Theory.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
All in one day. But it wasn't just that particular day. Within a 60-day period, during the late summer into the fall, Pearl Jam released its debut album, 10. Metallica released its most popular album, The Black Album. Guns N' Roses put out Use Your Illusion.
You were young and your heart wasn't open, but you used to say live and let live.
And U2 released Achtung Baby. Join us in this episode as we explore this and other incredible years of collective brilliance in music history. Welcome to The Age-Old Question. I'm Rich Price.
And I'm Clint Bierman.
This show is sort of like Car Talk meets
Behind the Music. Each episode deals with another question in music fandom.
The kind of questions that Clint and I have been debating since we were in college.
So today, with the help of some smart people, we're going to come up with the answer.
All right, Clint, what's today's question?
Today's question is, what is the greatest year in music history?
That's the age-old question. Okay, before we get to 1991, because I know that collection of albums was big for you.
Personally, yes.
Let's go back a bit further, because there are other incredible periods in time for great music. May 16th, 1966 brought the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds and Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde. Mm-hmm. By the end of the summer, the Beatles had released Revolver. Those three albums are three of the most influential in music history. Pet Sounds, as we've discussed, had a massive influence on the Beatles. Here's Paul talking about it.
But I think the big influence was Pet Sounds. Beach Boys, that was the album Flip Me, still does actually, still one of my favourite albums of all time. Just because the musical invention on that is like, wow. But that was the big thing for me. I just thought, oh dear me, this is the album of all time, what the hell are we going to do? So my ideas took off from that standard and I wanted to do stuff beyond that.
A highlight from Pet Sounds, the song that I sang at my wedding, one of our favourite songs.
Oh, it's one of my favourites ever.
God Only Knows.
If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Blonde on Blonde was a breakthrough album for Bob Dylan. Here's a great quote from Jerry Garcia. Blonde on Blonde gave rock and roll the thing I'd wished it had since I was a kid. respectability. The album features some of my favorite Dylan songs. Rainy Day Women number 12 and 35, which has been described as a demented marching band song with elaborate puns about pot. The weird title was because Dylan knew that a song called Everybody Must Get Stoned would never make it on the radio.
But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you.
Other highlights for me include Visions of Johanna.
Ain't it just like the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet?
I Want You.
Want you, I want you, yes, I want you so bad.
Stuck Inside a Mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Just Like a Woman.
She takes just like a woman. Yes, she does. She makes love just like a woman.
Pink Floyd's Roger Waters described the album as a huge influence on him and the genre of prog rock. He said, "Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands sort of changed my life. When I heard that, I thought, if Bob can do it, I can do it."
Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, where the sad eyed prophet says that no man comes.
The third album in that summer of 1966 was Revolver. We spent a lot of time talking about the Beatles on the show, and this could take us down a rabbit hole. But I'll make one quick detour on this album. After its release, Hit Parader, the magazine, declared, "Revolver represents the pinnacle of pop music. No group has been as consistently creative as the Beatles. Rather than analyze the music, we just suggest that you listen to Revolver 3 or 4 times a day and marvel." That's awesome.
Changing my life with a wave of a hand. Nobody can deny that there's something there.
Clint, what's your first pick for greatest year in music history?
Really, the late 60s, early 70s is where you get the evergreens,
yes,
the biggest albums, the biggest songs of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even look past the late 90s. I didn't even look at any in 2000, personally, because we don't know if those are great years, because it part of being great album is that it lasts.
Right.
So
the durability.
Again, with every age-old question, we're going to get people to be like, how could you not mention this album? This was the greatest album. But I didn't listen to that album. So I'm going through the things that, for me, were giant milestones in my life. Let's go through 67. Can we start there? Sgt. Pepper's, one of the greatest albums of all time. Also that year, Jimi Hendrix releases 2 albums. Are You Experienced? And Bold as Love.
Anger! He smiles, towering in shiny metallic purple armor. Queen jealousy envy waits behind him. Her fiery green gown sneers at the grassy ground.
Pink Floyd has their debut album, The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, just launched them onto the scene. The Doors released 2 albums. The Doors, their debut album.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
And Strange Days.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone.
Cream releases Disraeli Gears.
I've been waiting so long to be where I'm going.
Procol Harum releases Procol Harum with Whiter Shade of Pale, which is one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time.
Skip the light, Fandango. Turns cartwheels across the floor.
Yes.
So, 67 was a banging year.
Incredible.
Does it beat 66?
Well, it's interesting because, as you said, if not for this, then not that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I've got 7 weeks in 1968 here.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay, go.
This is from like October to December 1968. The third and final studio album from Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Mm-hmm.
Songs like All Along the Watchtower.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief.
The Beatles' White Album. Astral Weeks by Van Morrison.
If I ventured in the slipstream between the viaducts of your dream.
James Taylor's debut record.
Right.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine?
The Rolling Stones' Beggar's Banquet, songs like Sympathy for the Devil.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Street Fighting Man.
Hey, think the time is right for Ballet's Revolution.
And one of my favorites, Salt of the Earth.
This drink to the lonely of birth.
That's an incredible 7 week period.
7 weeks. Also in 68, Simon and Garfunkel bookends.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag.
And they released The Graduate that same year.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than.
So two releases that year.
That's the other thing, is that artists were putting out multiple releases in a year.
You can't even believe it now. Looking like Pete, that just is unheard of.
No one does that.
No one does that.
The rationale for releasing multiple albums in a year was building momentum for these artists. Now it's seen as like you've got to let each album breathe, mm-hmm. and the marketing cycle for each of these releases is so much longer.
Yep, and there's way more things being released
right
now.
Oh, it's a sound.
Also in 68, Aretha Franklin, Lady Soul.
Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain.
Johnny Cash does At Folsom Prison. That was a big one.
Got married in a fever, hotter than a pimply crowd. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson, gonna mess around.
And Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Was all 68.
All right, what's your next nomination?
So maybe my biggest of all is 1970.
1970.
1970 was a big year. Here's a couple highlights. Bridge Over Troubled Water, Simon and Garfunkel.
Sail on, silver girl. Sail on by. Your time has come to shine.
Neil Young, After the Gold Rush.
But only love can break your heart. Try to be sure right from.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Deja Vu.
One morning I woke up and I knew you were gone. A new day, a new way, and new eyes.
Black Sabbath, Paranoid.
Woman,
the The Beatles' Let It Be.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Led Zeppelin 3. Van Morrison, Moondance.
We were born before the wind.
Also, 1970.
But then you get Derek and the Dominoes, Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs.
Bell bottom blues, you made me cry.
Miles Davis, Bitches Brew, which was a seminal album. Jimi Hendrix, Band of Gypsies. James Brown's Sex Machine. Grateful Dead release Working Man's Dead and American Beauty in 1970.
Chugging, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the doo-dah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking on.
70 is a big one for me personally.
You know the concept of desert island discs? Like if you went to a desert island, what albums would you take? If you could only take 1 year, you could live a happy life on that island.
Yep. There's a lot of my favorite songs in 1970. All Things Must Pass by George Harrison was also released that year.
All things must pass.
During our episode about classic rock radio, Clint, we mentioned a study that suggested that 1973 was the peak of classic rock radio, that it's the year most represented by plays and listens on classic rock radio. So let's take a look at what came out that year, 1973. January brings Aerosmith's debut album, which includes Dream On, which has to be as great a rock song as there is. Also that month, another incredible debut, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band's Greetings from Asbury Park.
Hey, bus driver, keep the change. Bless your children, give them names. Don't trust men.
Okay, we're still in January. Little Feat's Dixie Chicken.
I've seen the bright lights of Memphis and the Commodore Hotel. And underneath the street lamp, I'm
Elton John's Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player, which features Daniel.
Daniel is driving tonight on a plane.
We're not out of January yet. We're still in January 1972. Bob Seger's Back in 72 is released with the single Turn the Page, which is a song that on a bunch of the top 10 lists, classic rock radio, this song was featured on those top 10 lists.
East of Omaha.
Now we're moving to February. A classic album that a lot of people don't know but should, and was one of my favorites. Big influence on subsequent generation of singer-songwriters. John Martin's Solid Air.
May you never lay your head down without a hand to hold. May I never make you mad out in the cold. Just like a great and strong brother of mine, you know that I love you true. You never told.
We go to March, we get Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Big one.
Closing out that month, Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy.
Mm-hmm. Hey lady, you got the love I need. Maybe.
And Faces' Ooh La La.
Thorough granddad, I laughed at all his words. I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke all of women's ways.
April brings Bob Marley's Catch a Fire. Eagles' Desperado.
It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky.
And Marshall Tucker Band's debut featuring Can't You See?
Can't you see? Can't you see? What that woman's been.
The next month, May brings Paul Simon's third album, There Goes Rhymin' Simon, with Kodachrome, Loves Me Like a Rock, Take Me to the Mardi Gras, Tenderness, and one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard, American Tune.
And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly. And looking back down at me, smiled reassuringly, and I dreamed I was flying. And high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. And I dreamed.
All right, I just want to recenter us here, Clint. We're not even through
the first half of
1973. July brings, for my bandmate Brian Chartrand's sake, we should mention Steely Dan album that's released that month, Countdown to Ecstasy, which features Razor Boy, The Boston Rag, Pearl of the Quarter. I like those songs, and I like Steely Dan's versions, but I actually think Brian's versions of those songs are better. So if you're interested, check out his albums of Steely Dan covers called Home at Last.
I hear you all singing a song of the past. I see no tears. I know that you know it may be the last for many years. You'd gamble or give anything to begin with the better half. But how many friends must I have to begin with to make you have a song to sing when the razor boy comes and takes your fancy things away? Will you still be singing it?
All right, August, Stevie Wonder releases Inner Visions. Also in August, Skynyrd's album, pronounced Leonard Skynyrd.
Their debut album.
If we're talking about classic rock radio, how about these songs? Gimme Three Steps.
Oh, won't you give me three steps, give me three steps, mister, give me three steps towards the door.
Simple Man.
And be a simple kind of man.
Tuesday's Gone.
Man.
And
Freebird.
If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me?
And there's only like 8 songs in the album, right? Like, it's incredible. Such a small, and all of those songs are played on the radio all the time.
Also August, Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Is there a better opening 3 notes to any song?
I've been really trying, baby.
On the last day of August, the Stones release Goat's Head Soup.
I ain't Jay. When will those clouds all disappear?
still to come in 1973, and I'll just go through them really quickly. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Huge album.
So goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, where the dogs of society howl.
Another Bob Marley album, Burnin'.
Burnin'.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. Oh, no, oh.
Steve Miller's Joker.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Some call me the gangster of love.
The Who's Quadrophenia.
Rain on me, rain on me, rain on me.
Billy Joel's Piano Man. John Lennon's Mind Games.
Ugh.
And to close out the year, 1973, Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run. There are probably people screaming at us right now for leaving out other albums from that year, but that is an incredible year. That's 1973. Incredible
year. I'm screaming because Herbie Hancock releases Headhunters that year,
mm-hmm.
and the Allman Brothers Band releases Brothers and Sisters. Ramblin' Man, Jessica, Wasted Words, Southbound.
Those are great songs.
Seven tracks. Yeah, 73 is high. ZZ Top releases Tres Hombres, and these are all, this is classic rock radio. This is all of these songs,
right,
make up so much of what we grew up listening to. Dark Side of the Moon for me is the greatest album of all time. I've listened to that more than any other piece of music, collection of music in my life, without question. I think probably times 10.
Wow.
I've listened to that album all the time through college. I listened to that I don't know.
That's an interesting question. What is the album you've listened to most in your life?
Yeah, and for me it's Dark Side of the Moon from 1973. So that puts 73 high up in my life.
Yes.
And I think at a certain point, we're gonna come to a conclusion. I hope we're going to do it, but I think we're going to come to a conclusion of what was the greatest year,
yeah,
universally for music.
Yeah.
Part of this conversation that we need to touch on is, how is the music being delivered, right? Is it vinyl and then 8-track? And then in the early to mid-80s, like 83, it goes to cassette. And so all of a sudden, cassette is everywhere, and people are listening to, you can carry it around with you.
The Sony Walkman. Did you have a Sony Walkman? Oh, I
definitely had a Sony
Walkman. The yellow
waterproof one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're talking, once you hit the 90s, then you're going CDs.
You know, let's call our buddy Jeff Simons.
Love it.
I know he'll have some thoughts on the best year in music history.
He'll know the answer.
He'll know the answer.
He'll know it.
Hi, this is Jeff.
Jeff, you got Rich and Clint.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, on the work phone.
On the work?
You're tracking me down. I love it.
We called the emergency bat phone.
We need to know.
So we're talking about the best year in music and wanting to know, what is your nominee?
I'm going to go with the year of my birth, which is 1969, as the high point of the rock and roll era.
So 1969, this is the year of Abbey Road. This is the year.
Which one we got? You ready?
Yep.
Yeah,
ready?
Yeah.
I got two things. First of all, the list of records: Abbey Road, Zeppelin II, Let It Bleed, Sly and the Family Stones, Stand. Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. The Band, Live Dead, Miles Davis is in a Silent Way, invents trip hop. The Kinks put out Arthur, and The Who put out Tommy. But in addition to those 10 unbelievable records, 1969 is the year when the modern rock concert is solidified, right? And by, in 1966, the Beatles retire from live music, playing a 25-minute set at Candlestick Park. By 1969 is the first year that rock bands go out touring with their own PA, and they don't use the sad little PA hanging from the ceiling for wrestling night in arenas. They actually, like, bring their own sound system. The Stones tour America, and they play a full 70-minute set That's where the Get Your Ya-Ya's out comes, and the Grateful Dead's approach of playing all night in San Francisco goes mainstream. So in addition to 10 of the greatest records ever made, 1969 is the year, the first year that if you're a rock and roll fan, you can go see a band and it's being treated like a night out to see a work of art and not a pop show, not 14 bands each playing two songs with the headliner playing for 20 minutes. So for me, those two things together make 69 the year.
Woodstock.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned the Stones playing 70 minutes. You're right that in some ways that is like revolutionary. You think about when the Beatles played their last set in 1966 at Candlestick, the show is like 31 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. Like it's nine songs and, you know, you can't hear it, right? You know that Live at the Hollywood Bowl record? Like both nights the show was 27 minutes long.
Wow.
Total. The Stones are the first band people come to listen to. Mick Jagger tells the story of coming home from the 69 tour and having lunch with John Lennon. And Lennon's like, how can you stand it out on the road? And he's like, you don't understand. Like, they listen now. Like, they're sitting down. They're paying attention. Like, we sound great. You should try it. He's like, but by then, it was too far gone for them.
Huh. You
know? That's awesome.
Well, Jeff, you've given us a great candidate for the best year in music, 1969. Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. I can't wait to hear who wins. I can't wait to hear if I'm right.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you, man.
Also that year, Crosby, Stills, and Nash debut album.
Oh, yeah.
Blind Faith, Creedence, Green River, Jesus.
Well, he did know it. That might be the year. It's hard to beat 69.
It is hard to beat.
He makes a strong case for it.
He does. But I think we should pop up to the 80s.
Okay.
Because the 80s starts to get... Now we're into tapes. We're into more mobile way to listen to music.
Yep.
And I'd love to just wrap about 1983.
Okay. Give me the highlights of 1983.
I mean, there's almost too many to name. But for you and I, Huey Lewis and the News, Sports came out in 1983.
One of the greats of all time.
One of the greats of all time. Madonna's debut album, The Police, Synchronicity, U2, War, R.E.M., Murmur, Def Leppard, Paranoia, Violent Femmes, that first Violent Femmes album. Oh, I love that album. Lionel Richie, Can't Slow Down, which is... Stevie Ray Vaughan releases Texas Flood, Ozzy Osbourne, Bark at the Moon, Billy Joel, An Innocent Man. That was a major year for me. I owned all of these tapes.
But it feels different to have lived through that music than to sort of rediscover that music.
The wonder of it, the era.
Well, you mentioned 83.
Yeah.
85, the first half of 85 was incredible. We saw Phil Collins, No Jacket Required. Whitney Houston's debut album.
Which was huge.
Which was massive.
Huge.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Southern Accents.
Yep.
Oh, I love this. Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms. And Sting's first solo album, which you and I both like, Dream of the Blue Turtles.
Yes.
I think you're right, though, to talk about like format changes having an impact and being a significant part of how we think about this question of the greatest year in music history.
Because when you had a vinyl album, you couldn't listen to it in your car.
Right.
You couldn't listen to it in another room. You had to be at the record player. You had to be stationary, whereas you could be mobile as the format changes, which changes, right? You listen to way more music when you can listen to it not sitting in front of your record
player. Totally. It's funny. I heard this morning on the radio, Yes's Owner of a Lonely Heart, whatever.
Yeah, Owner of a Lonely Heart.
I have a very vivid memory of where I was when I first listened to that song.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It's connected to a time and a place.
Yeah, and that sound. There's a sound in that song. It's like, what is that sound?
Well, we started this conversation talking about that day in 1991 when an incredible number of game-changing albums were released. But the entire year of 1991 is incredible as well.
Yeah, go through it.
So we've got Pearl Jam, Guns N' Roses, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Metallica, The Pixies, U2. But it also brought REM's Out of Time. Which was their biggest hit.
Losing My Religion was huge.
Other albums from that year, Sting's Soul Cages.
Love that.
Another album you and I enjoy.
Yeah. I looked out across the river today. Saw a
city in the fog and a orchard's tower where the seagulls play. Bonnie Raitt's Luck of the Draw came out in June 91. Tom Petty's Into the Great Wide Open.
Oh, that. Oh, I love that one.
Me too. Well, I started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down. August of 91, PM Dawn's album with that song,
Set Adrift on a Memory Bliss of You.
Set Adrift on a Memory Bliss.
I know every word to that song. Set Adrift on That is a great song.
Also that month, for our buddy Peter Day, we should mention the Spin Doctors' Pocketful of Kryptonite.
In 91?
Yeah. Another one from this category, also in August 91, Toad the Wet Sprocket's album Fear, which had the song Walk on the Ocean.
I love that.
Remember that? We spotted the ocean, the head of the trail. Where are we going? See, this is part of it, is that it, we were in
true.
High school.
It's true.
So
it plays.
Remember many episodes ago we talked about the songs you hear between the ages of like 14 and 17 are the songs that sort of define your musical aesthetic.
Yes. And that is it for us. 91 is like right in the wheelhouse.
A few days after the Toad the Wet Sprocket's album, Naughty by Nature's self-titled second album comes out with the classic OPP.
OPP. OPP, how can I explain it? I'll take it frame by frame it. To have y'all on jump and shout and saying it. O is for other P is for people scratch a temple. The last P, well, that's not that simple. Huh. It's sort of like a well, another also for Peter Day.
But for me, by far, my favorite album from that year is Achtung Baby.
Yep. That's a great, great record. Is it getting better? Do you feel the same? A totally different record for them, too. And think about looking at it right now at the big list. Metallica, the Black Album, Use Your Illusion, Nevermind, 10. These are some hard records, right? Like, the tides have changed. It's now like we're entering the grunge era. We're entering heavy distorted guitars. We're coming out of hair metal, right? And now it's more like... But then, Out of Time, Achtung Baby. And then Blood Sugar Sex Magik is a seminal album, a game-changing album in the world, right? Like, maybe it was just me in Indiana, but That was an amazing thing that I've never heard before. It was like rap, rock, funk. You know, again, Rick Rubin.
I was going to say, produced by Rick Rubin.
I wonder how many Rick Rubin did that year.
So, because we like data and studies,
yeah,
let's look at some data compiled by Stacker in its piece, Ranking the Best and Worst Years in Music History. They ranked each year by how many albums from each year gets included in best of lists.
Oh, that's a good way to do it.
Whether that's Rolling Stone's Top 100, Pitchfork's Top 100. It's top five, starting with number five. 1973, okay, for all the reasons we mentioned.
Yep.
Number four, 94.
Which was?
Top ranked album from that year, Jeff Buckley's Grace.
Okay.
Which we discuss in episode 20 about the greatest singers of all time. Number three on Stacker's list of best years, 1967. You talked about Aretha, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, Sgt. Pepper. It's getting better all the time. Number two on their list, 1971. Led Zeppelin IV, John Lennon's Imagine, Aretha's version of Bridge Over Troubled Water, Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine.
Yep.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
Number one, based on compiling all of these lists of top albums, they agree with Jeff Simons. 1969.
We haven't even touched on hip hop, right? So there.
You're right. We're very focused.
We're very focused on rock and roll.
Yep.
What we understand as great rock and roll.
So here's the thing. There's no doubt that we missed some great years.
Yes.
We want to hear from you. What did we miss? We'll include this in a follow-up episode.
Yeah.
If you like the show, please subscribe and follow. Give us a review and share this podcast with a friend.
Yeah.
That's how we'll grow it.
Well, what do you, go. Tell me what year. You're picking it right now. Greatest year in music history for Rich Price.
I'm going to say 1973.
Okay.
Come on, take me to the Mardi Gras, where the people sing and play, where the dancing is elite, and there's music in the street both night and day. Hurry, take me to the Mardi Gras.
I am going to say, for me, I'm going to say 1991. I am just going to say 1991. I'm going to, because that's
right where we started.
Right where we started.
Right where we started.
And as much as I looked at this list and I love every single thing that I wrote down, nothing has inspired me more than 1991.
And what a time to be in high school and to have that music.
Yeah. Would it be my favorite year?
If you weren't in high school.
It's interesting.
Would you be who you are?
Right.
If not for the music that came out in 1991.
Wow. Real talk, though.
Real talk.
Yeah. It is the influence.
Huh. If you want to understand you, Clint Bierman,
yep,
you can't understand you without listening to the music that came out in 1991.
Yes.
And am I right?
That's exactly, for better or worse, yes, that's exactly it.
Look, I think we did it.
I think we did, too.
I think we did it.
I think we did it. And if we didn't, people will tell us.
People will tell us. We hope you had fun, as much fun as we did, and we hope you'll join us next time when we answer another
age-old question.
Follow us on Instagram at The Age Old Question.
Facebook, The Age Old Question.
We hope this conversation has sparked some ideas and thoughts of your own. Let us know in the comments.
But let's be kind, people.
Yeah.
No hating.
No hating.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.